Hey, we've been doing church a bit different and a lot more casual, as a lot of us have seen. So we actually weren't going to sing a song. I don't know. I rocked up and went, oh, I have no idea. But with these awesome guys here and very, very keen after it's been months, we thought we might just do one of the songs that we've done before. Yeah. So bear with us because we've only just decided to do this. did anyone get the message last week about Psalm 145? Yeah. Has anyone been reading that out? I don't know about you, but I've just been like, you know what? God is so good. Amen. And he is worthy of our praise. Amen. Amen or not? No? Can I get an amen? Yes. Yeah? So I just think it's one of probably the greatest key things to remember, that we are created for his praise, for his glory. To praise him, to worship him, to adore him, to declare. It says, one generation shall declare your mighty acts to another generation. I just think it's awesome when we get together and we can talk about the good things God's done. And can't wait till we can all get back together with the rest of the church in person. But just from that, I think it's really, I've been meditating going, what have I heard from the generations ahead of me? And what am I passing on to the generations below me to go, what God's done? You know, his mighty acts and how faithful he has been and how amazing he's been. Amen. Hey, just a thought for you this morning. So we're going to do, I reckon, Victory. I've done this one for ages.
Current I'll sing. I dead to my sin. With Christ in me and I in him, Christ in me and I in him, Christ in me and I in him. Oh, victory, victory, conquer death, set me free. Victory, victory, Jesus alive in me.
Victory,
victory, victory, conquer death, set me free. Victory, victory, Jesus alive in me. Jesus alive in me.
That I was thinking, someone this morning who is facing a pretty big battle, and they messaged and was doing, there's another song out there where they say, I'm going to see the victory. It says, I'm going to see the victory because the battle is the Lord's. And I'm like, you know what, as I got that song, the message from them, I said, you know what, God, I thank you for the victory. It's not that I'm going to see it, I see it already. I thank you for the victory. And like this says, we actually have the victory because Christ is in us already, and he gives us and he leads us in triumph in Christ. Amen? Yeah. That statement, the greatest one of those things is Christ is in me and I in him. Every day just go, God, I'm in you and you're in me. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but that just pumps me up. So awesome. Thanks so much, guys. Take it easy.
Am I on? Yep. Glory to God. What an amazing start to a day. Having the kids cheer us on like that and whatever have you. You know, the prime reason for us coming together today is just to get into a realm of fellowship together and encourage one another and just get together away from the doldrums of everyday life to focus on who Jesus is. And I love that scenario, that song there, Victory, Jesus Alive in Me. I in him and him in me. And so it's so important. It's not only important for us to be in fellowship and do things, but just to focus in and remember others that are perhaps out there. There are many of our family, our church family, that can't be here today simply because of their location and their inability to travel and do things now. So my heart goes out to them, and I'd like to pray for them now, and we can all just believe God to really give them some encouragement and his spirit in that place. When they listen to this afterwards, they're going to hear this on podcasts or via YouTube or whatever we're doing with it today. And it will be really amazing. So I'd like you to join me in prayer shortly. But just a word of encouragement to keep praying for one another. And just trust God for our own sanity and well-being as well. It's pretty uncharted territory that we're in and difficult times. But we've got a God who's not thwarted or daunted by any of this. He's seen the end from the beginning, and he knows the pathway we need to walk, and he's got every provision available for us. Amen? We've just got to be like that song said, Victory, Jesus alive in me. It was interesting yesterday. Now, this is going to probably not be known to most of you that have been here in recent times, but some years ago when I went to India and opened the orphanage, I met a guy named Aloysius, and he was a guy who had grown up in a very staunch Catholic background and became a Catholic priest. And Aloysius got saved, born again, met Jesus, and turned from his role in the church to becoming an evangelist and sharing Jesus with others. And he's got a passion for God. I mean, the guy is amazing. Currently, he's about 51 years old, but as a young man and a young priest, he was dedicated to his work, but then he met Jesus. And from then on, he's been dedicated to winning his country and others in India for the Lord. And he's done it hard. He's lived by faith. He's lived just by what God's given him and provided for him. He's got a great talent in playing instruments, and he sings, but, you know, not the sort of perfect operatic or classical voice you would expect. But he gets up there and he sings these songs that God gives him. And recently, or over the past few years, he met a guy who said, look, I would like to sponsor you to make albums. So he's now just finishing his third album, and it's created some success through the Christian world in India. And it's also because of his reputation as being a priest. Those songs are going everywhere, not just into the traditional Christian circles as we understand them, but right through the Catholic Church and through others, and the message of Christ is in those songs. So it's really amazing. And he did sort of... he sent me a text on WhatsApp, and I thought, you know, I haven't contacted this guy for ages. I'll send a thing back to him. And gave him a bit of encouragement and, you know, just said we're praying for him and so forth. And the next thing, my phone rings, and it's a WhatsApp voice call. And, Pastor, I am so happy to hear your voice. And he's going on and on and on. And he said, you sound the same. You are so strong in your voice and your confidence in God as when you were in India. And I'm like, well, I hope so. I don't want to lose any of that. You know, but the same thing, it was incredible to be able to encourage someone virtually over in another part of the world who is struggling along and doing it hard at the moment. And we actually ended up, we bought him and one other pastor in India at the time when I came back. We bought them both Honda bikes to get around on so they could travel and do the work of God where they were and so forth. And he just said, oh, the bike's off out of action at the moment. I need $20 to fix the battery and this and this. And I said, oh, I haven't made any commitment yet, but we'll see what we can do. But it's just lovely to be able to hear that God is at work like that. And that people we originally had contact with are still going on and still ministering. And he just said he's a bit grounded at the moment because the bike being out of action. But over the years, it has been such a blessing because it's given him the ability to travel into out-of-the-way places and to share Jesus with others that he could never have got to without it. So I'm just thrilled to have heard from him. And that's an upgrade and an update on you. So if you remember, it's hard to remember, Aloysius. But if you can remember to pray for this guy and uphold him and the work he's doing in India, be really good. A fortnight ago, we were once again able to minister at Warina Aged Care, but not physically. And they said, look, the people up there are really wanting church again, but it can't be done on a personal level. Can we do a Zoom meeting? And so that was set up by them, and they sent out the contact. We all got onto the internet with our little Zoom set up. And I was amazed, and so was Kerry, at how many of them were actually in the lounge room with the TV, and we put hymns up that we've picked from the internet with the words on there, and it was so good just to spend a little bit of time interacting with them and sharing Jesus with them again and encouraging them. And you could just tell at the end when they were saying goodbye to us and waving that they were so uplifted by that. So this is on again this Wednesday, and I don't know how Kerry and I are going to do it. We might come down here and do it again. Otherwise, we can all do it from our own homes. So we'll send out a note when we get the Zoom contact, and we'll send it to Shelley and Darren and any others. If you want to be part of that and join in, let us know. You just got to have the Zoom app on your computer or whatever, your laptop or something, don't you? And away we go. So talk to Darren about that afterwards if you can, because I'm illiterate on this stuff. I know how to turn it on and turn it off, and that's about it. The rest of it is all. So the Warina will be back on this Wednesday at, is it 10:30? 10:30. We'll be again ministering there and singing some of the old hymns. And you could tell they loved it last time because we had like hymns like Onward Christian Soldiers and what was the first one we did? I can't remember anyways. Something, yeah, but 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus. Oh! And then we did Blessed Assurance. But, you know, just those hymns of faith and confidence in God. It's just so encouraging for them to go through because they grew up with them. They know the songs, and it's quite funny. You know, I grew up with them as well, and I know them all. So it's really quite a nostalgic trip for me in a way. But the old hymns really have great depth and great meaning. So we'll be back in with Rowena. So there's another point of prayer for those people that are living there in that home. And they are so hungry for interaction and fellowship. It's so good to see. So thank God for that open door. So as the Bible says and encourages us, pray one for another. And we need to do that. We need to continually uphold each other in prayer. So can we do that right now? And I'll lead and you can join with me in believing that God will meet every need. Father, we're so blessed today to be called your children and to be your children. We thank you for being an amazing God. We thank you for your love and your compassion and your constant presence in our life. We thank you, Lord, for your ongoing teaching and training and leading and guiding through your Holy Spirit. And Father, I pray we would all just be far more attentive and far more attuned to what you're saying to us and how you want to guide us and lead us and correct us and bring us into a place where not only are we living the life in victory that you want us to live, but our relationship with you is unhindered and enhanced in every way. Forgive us, Lord, for our failings, but Lord, help us to walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, understanding what your will for our life is. Thank you, Lord, that you do love us and you love us passionately. Every one of us here in this room, from the youngest, from every child here, I pray for them, Lord God, for your protection over their lives, right through to the most senior of us, that we would all, Lord God, know your love and your hand of protection over not only our individual lives, but our extended families and for those that we love. That in Jesus' name, every home here represented would be blessed and protected by you. Father, for those that aren't here, I pray for our extended family and for those that are in difficult situations with lockdowns and so forth. I ask, Lord God, for your spirit and your peace to just be so intense right where they are now. Father God, I pray for an awareness of your presence, an awareness of your comfort, an awareness of who you are to them, and that, Lord, they would be attuned to you in such a way that their dependence wouldn't be on what this world is providing, but it would be upon you, and that you, Lord God, have every answer to every need. And I thank you for it in the mighty name of Jesus. And so, Lord God, I ask for those that are perhaps feeling alone and for those that are feeling a little bit stressed because of that, in the name of Jesus, I ask for your comfort and peace that passes all understanding to fill their hearts and lives with your love and with your presence in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. We're going to have communion together shortly, but just before we do, I'm going to relay a little story that Aloysius sent me. And it was a young man telling a story using an analogy that I thought had a great spiritual significance. And he talked about a man who was in his final years and he was dying. And this man had four wives. Don't know why. But he had four wives. And he called the first wife in and he said, my days are numbered and I'm going into the afterlife. and I would like you to come with me. You're the wife I've loved the most. You're the one I have treasured the most. You're the one I have adorned with jewelry and diamonds and the finery and clothing and everything else. And I would really want you to come with me. Will you accompany me to the afterlife? And she said, well, no, I can't. I love what I have and all the things you've given me, and they mean a lot to me. So no, I'm not going to go with you. So he called in the second wife that he also loved deeply. And she'd been given a good life and things to live by and live with, a lovely home and all the finery of that sort of thing, and wonderful things to enhance her life. And he asked her, and she said, well, no, I can't. In fact, I love you, but when you die, I'm still young enough and I'm going to go marry another man, so I ain't going with you. And so he says, whoa. So then he calls in the third wife, and he says, and he hadn't spent as much time with her. And he hadn't been there for all the time, but he had spent some time with her, and they'd interacted occasionally, and they'd had a fairly good relationship. And he said to her, will you accompany me to the afterlife? I don't want to go there alone. And she said, well, that's a big question to ask of me, but no. I tell you what I will do, though. I'll arrange a wonderful funeral for you, and I'll get everybody that you know there, and I'll ensure that your memory is enhanced and everybody has a great, you know, funeral for you, and you know, we'll give you a good send-off. And he heard a voice yell out behind him, I'll go with you. And he turns, and it's his fourth wife. Well, she was actually the one he married first, but he had left her or ignored her and not spent a lot of time with her and hadn't really developed any form of relationship with her because they'd been married the longest. And she said, I've always loved you. I've always been a part of you. I've always honored you and wanted to be with you, and I'll go with you to the afterlife if you let me. Well, he didn't expect that, because this was one that he'd ignored a lot. And he said, well, I have really ignored you, but I thank you for your commitment to me. Naturally enough, this couldn't really happen in real life, but the analogy is interesting. Let's reverse it around a little bit. The fourth wife, the one that he loved and pampered the most, is like us having four interests or four, quote, wives in our life. And the first one is our own self. We pamper our bodies. We pamper ourselves. We look after us. We give it a lot of attention. We make sure we're comfortable. We make sure that we've got the best of clothing and whatever we can afford. And we definitely take care of that part of who we are. Our second, quote, wife or interest, let's go back a little bit. But our body cannot be taken with us. Let's remember that. Our body cannot be taken with us into the afterlife. Like that first wife, or the first one that he spoke to, said, I love this too much, but I'm not going with you. I want to stay here. And the body stays here. It cannot go with us into the afterlife. The second one, where the wife was given the best of everything but ignored to some degree, and she had the bells and the whistles of life and all the things that you could live with, is like our possessions. And we can make the most of them while they're here. And they can be a treasure to us. And we can love them. We can gather them. And we can store them and do things. And that's like the second wife who said, no, when you die, I'm going to marry another. What happens to our possessions when we pass on? They're no longer ours. We can't take them with them, and they end up being dispersed to another, either left to others or they'll be sold off. And other people end up having that second wife. The third wife, who he still interacted with and had some time with, and said, well, I'm going to give you a great send-off and I'll make sure you have a great memory, is like our friends, family and others that are acquaintances. And they'll come to our funeral and they'll go through a eulogy and they'll go through a memoir of our life. They can't go with us, but they give us a send-off. And that's the third wife that says, just like that third one that said, I'll give you the best of funerals and a send-off, but I'm not going with you. Isn't that interesting? But the fourth one who said, I'll go with you, I've always belonged to you, I've always felt part of you, was the most ignored part of this guy's relationships. And in many people's instances, the fourth wife is the personal soul. And the Bible tells us, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? And the soul will definitely go with you to afterlife. The real you, the real inner man, the real spirit soul man is a part that many, many people ignore and spend no time with, spend no attention to, don't enhance, don't feed, and don't properly take care of. A bit like this guy's first wife, but the one who said, I'll go with you, I've always been part of you, was the part that he ignored the most. And I really felt that the analogy in this was quite interesting for people who needed to ensure that they have a standard that makes their priorities get into perspective. And if we don't have, firstly and foremost, a good relationship with God, if we don't feed our soul and spirit in prayer and with the Word of God and in time with Him, that is like the soul that says, I'll go with you, but you've ignored me. We've got to actually enhance that life, that spiritual life, and make sure that spiritual life is fed and is properly interacted with and made the priority, regardless of what the first three interests were, our own self, our possessions, or our relationships. The real us gets ignored. And we need to ensure, and I believe that God is just saying to us, hey, your real treasure is not here. It's in the afterlife with me. Make your preparation now. Ensure your life with me is running at an ebb that is strong, long, and true. And you know, that's something that so many people have no awareness or concept of. And I believe that God is wanting this world today, with the situation that this world is in, to begin to think, what really is important? What is important in life? Is it all of the things and the possessions and the relationships and the friends? Yes, treasure them. Yes, live life where you can to ensure these things add to your comfort and to your existence. But without a relationship with God, the soul gets ignored. And I thought that was such a good little analogy. It just came through. Young Indian man telling the story. And the way he put it, I thought, how good is that? And it was put in such a way to make you think, hey, am I really running at an ebb where what is important is taking priority? And because it's the part of me that will live forever. It's the part of me that will leave this life. Spirit and soul, the Bible says, are united in such a way that only actually can be separated or divided up by the Word of God. And that's the only reason we know we have a spirit and soul, is because of what the Word of God tells us. But the soul is the part of us that is the engine room of our living and our being. And it's everything that we are, think, say and do, our mind, our will and our emotions. And it needs to be enhanced and strengthened by the Word of God and with a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So keep that in mind. And you know, the good part about that is the whole beginning of it comes through the fact that God gave himself through Jesus to draw us to himself. Many people aren't aware of this. But God does call on all men everywhere to repent, to change their ways, to surrender to him. And the beginning of it, I'd like to bring to our attention now through the broken body and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That part of God's gift to us that brought about the capacity for this relationship to begin. Prior to that, God was somewhere different. God was separated from man. God was there when they knew God existed. Many ignored him, but there was always an awareness of God who created the earth. But until Jesus came, there was no interaction, no relationship, no food for the soul, so to speak. But when Jesus came, glory to God, he said, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. Oh boy, am I glad he did. Am I ever glad he did? Because who wants to be lost? Who wants to spend life separated from God? Who wants to spend life just in a menial, materialistic world where everything that matters can't be taken with us? We need to find what really matters, and that is our life with the Lord Jesus. So today we can be so grateful for the life that Jesus poured out for us, where his body was broken, his blood was shed to pay the penalty for the sin and the independence of every person and draw them back to himself. And having given our lives to the Lord Jesus, that's the first step in feeding our souls, in developing that relationship. As you're an eternal being, you really are. You and I are eternal beings. Where we live eternally is dependent on what decisions we make in this life. And we are going on with a relationship that matters and counts, all because of Calvary. All because of Calvary. Amen? So, so, so good. So can we just take this bread and together be thankful for what Jesus did in sacrificing himself for us. Father, we're so grateful that you provided a way through your son Jesus at Calvary. And because of that, our lives will never be the same. Enhanced, fed, nourished and nurtured by you and by your word. We thank you in Jesus' name. Let's eat that bread together. When Jesus said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, he was doing away with everything that was old, everything that was materialistic, everything that was man-made, everything that had to do with what people had to do themselves to come to God. Whether they had to bring a sacrifice, whether they had to bring a whatever it was, an offering to the temple, everything that was done in a way that involved them. If they didn't do it, then there was no benefit. It was what they did. But in our life, under this covenant, it's what Jesus did. And we just got to surrender to him and know that his life is there for us. And so this covenant does away with everything we can do to find God, but does everything for us, for God to find us. And so we're going to drink this together, rejoicing in the new covenant life we have in Jesus. Let's do that together. Thank you, Father. Praise God. That's glorious. That's glorious. I hope you're encouraged by that. Just a simple little story, but the main reason for us getting together today is to encourage one another and to bless one another and to be together. Just so that we can be a family of God that is working with one another to bring Jesus into a greater perspective into all of our lives. Amen. Does anyone got anything to add, share? All good. Well, I appreciate you all coming here today. Lovely to see those we haven't seen for so good. It's just exciting. It's awesome. And we trust that God richly blesses all those that are listening on the podcast and that are not here physically and couldn't be here. We're praying for you and we're believing for God to just keep his heart in focus with your heart, to be where you are in a way. Don't lose sight of him. Don't be discouraged. Don't allow the affairs of this life to bring you down, but get into God's word and be encouraged by what God says, and be blessed wherever you are. Bless you all. Thank you so much. Amen.